Our New Testament lesson today comes from James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I by my works will show you my faith." You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith without works is barren? Was not our ancestor Abraham justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was brought to completion by the works. Thus the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Likewise, was not Rahab the prostitute also justified by works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out by another road? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, a quick Google search will tell you that the year 2017 is a year in which there are many important anniversaries occurring. You may not have known this. But in the year 2017, well, we've got the 20th anniversary of the Harry Potter series. Can anybody believe that? 20 years since Harry Potter came out. I know, that makes me feel old. 40th anniversary of the first Star Wars movie. How many of you remember being there in theaters to see that first Star Wars movie? Little known fact, the first package of Spam was produced 80 years ago, and you can still eat that original package. I little known fact. I don't challenge you to do it, but you probably could. On a more serious note, 2017 marks the 100-year anniversary of the U.S. entry into World War I. That's a pretty big date. And the 150th anniversary of the purchase of the Alaska Territory. Who knew that was 150 years ago? In fact, this year also marks the 125th anniversary of the founding of this congregation, which was originally called Fox's Chapel Methodist Protestant Church, from which the borough of Fox Chapel would later get its name. Later, as the year goes on, you'll hear about our church putting on a 125th anniversary festival, and we're going to invite the entire community to celebrate this piece of our heritage. But even this is not the most significant church history-related anniversary occurring in 2017. This anniversary occurring in 2017, which churches around the world are commemorating and celebrating, is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. More specifically, October 31st, 2017, marks 500 years since the day when that German monk, Martin Luther, went and nailed the 95 Theses to the door of that castle church in Wittenberg, publicly disagreeing with several Roman Catholic teachings and effectively starting the Reformation. Now, if you've ever had the pleasure of reading something written by Martin Luther, you'll know that he always spoke his mind, often very directly and often even offensively. There's even a website that's very popular with nerdy seminary students called the Luther Insult Generator. Who here has visited the Luther Insult Generator? There's Pastor Ben, that's right. And every time you click the button on the page, it comes up with another actual insult written by Martin Luther, and they compare only to the insults of William Shakespeare. They're up there that high. And he attacked his political opponents, his theological opponents, and oftentimes even the Pope. And so what does all this have to do with the scripture that we just heard from James chapter 2? Well, the fact is that Martin Luther didn't just insult people. At times, he would even insult books of the Bible. Now, this may surprise you because Martin Luther, he translated the Bible into German. He popularized the personal reading of Scripture, and he generally held a very high view of the importance of Scripture. But there were certain books of the Bible that Martin Luther liked more than others. And the book of James was at the very bottom of his list. In his introduction to the New Testament, Martin Luther wrote, "Those which should be rightly ranked first are the Gospel of John and St. Paul's epistles, especially that to the Romans, together with St. Peter's first epistle. Every Christian would do well to read them first and most often. In comparison with these, the epistle of James is an epistle full of straw, because it contains nothing evangelical." Well, that's not very nice to say about the book of James, an epistle full of straw, meaning that it's weak, that it's flimsy, that it should just be thrown out. You know, kind of like that house that the little pig built out of straw. It could just be blown right over. And he was saying that this is not something out of which to build a strong and robust Christian faith. More specifically, the passage from James with which Martin Luther was most critical was the very passage that we read today, in which James says that faith without works is dead. Now, the reason for Martin Luther's opposition to this section of Scripture were a little bit more understandable in light of his own historical context, because he was reacting against a particular problem in the church at the time, and you may remember this from your high school history class. There were several church leaders in Martin Luther's day who were saying that you could earn your way into heaven. And you could even earn your way for a loved one who passed away to get into heaven by doing specific types of good works. And a little bit like those televangelists who you'll see on TV today, these church leaders had a plan, and the plan was that the specific type of good works you would do involved paying money. You would pay money for something called an indulgence, and in return, you would receive merits to get your way into heaven. In response to this, Luther argued very strongly that works have nothing to do with our salvation. We are saved only by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And so when James says in verse 14 of today's reading, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say that you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you?" Martin Luther wants to shout a resounding, "Yes, faith is what saves you." Whereas James concludes just a few verses later, "So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead." But you know, when I read today's scripture reading from James chapter 2, it seems to me like this entire debate is just an exercise in missing the point. Martin Luther said that he greatly preferred the letters of Paul to those of James. In particular, Luther would point to Galatians chapter 2, where Paul writes that we are saved by faith alone and not by works. But the word works, we don't use that very often. In fact, if I were to use it anywhere except in the context of church, people wouldn't know what I was talking about. It simply means deeds or actions. I mean, this is a very broad word. And yet when Paul uses it, he's thinking of something more specific. He's thinking of what he calls the works of the law, which meant the works of following the ceremonial and the moral laws of the Old Testament. And Paul intended this to be truly good news. He was saying, you can never work hard enough. You can never do everything right. And so it's a good thing that it doesn't depend on our ability to follow the law for us to be saved. Rather, we are saved by our faith in what Jesus has already done. And yet, in the book of James, he uses the word works, but it seems as though he's talking about something very different. He said in verses 15 and 16 today, "If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill,' and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that?" It's clear that James is talking not about fulfilling the law of the Old Testament in all of its detail, but rather about good works, works of kindness and mercy and generosity to people who are in need. And so it's entirely possible that we can both agree with Paul that we are saved by faith and at the same time agree with James that faith, if not expressed through works, is meaningless or dead. And so I don't agree with Martin Luther and his critique of the book of James, calling it an epistle full of straw. In fact, it's quite possible that Luther himself may have retracted this statement about the book of James because he later removed just this paragraph from his reprinted edition of the Introduction to the New Testament. So I guess James grew on him as time went on. But I do have to lodge my own complaint against the book of James. And that is to say that perhaps James would have been a little bit more effective if he had casted his argument in a positive rather than in a negative tone. What do I mean by that? Faith without works is dead. It seems like a sort of condemning thing to say, as if I'm supposed to constantly inspect and scrutinize and look at my life under a microscope to ask, do I have enough faith? Do I believe enough? And do I have enough good works? Am I being a good enough person? And all of this just kind of creates anxiety in me, like I'm being inspected or scrutinized. And so if I were going to suggest a little revision, humble little me suggesting a revision to the book of James, I would have told him to write this instead. Faith with works is alive. Faith with works is alive. Now that is a belief that I can get behind wholeheartedly. When I started to think about this phrase, faith with works is alive, the first thing that came to my mind in the midst of Black History Month and Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday is that Martin Luther King Jr. and the other leaders, the religious leaders of the American Civil Rights Movement, were people who understood that faith and works are alive. You see, there were plenty of Christians alive during the Civil Rights Movement who believed that we were created in the image of God and that racial segregation and legalized discrimination were against God's will. They knew it, but they didn't do anything about it. Martin Luther King took his faith and he put it into action, protesting, preaching, boycotting, getting beaten, arrested, and ultimately assassinated for doing what is right. And yet, because Martin Luther King's bold actions and civil disobedience were clearly motivated by his faith, he could appeal to these ultimate moral realities that would motivate people to see that this wasn't just a political issue, that this was an issue of the deepest and most fundamental importance. And so the motto of Martin Luther King Jr.'s life very easily could have been, faith with works is alive. And that's why we remember him to this day. You know, faith, when we put it into action, it's capable of changing our communities, it's capable of changing our country, and I believe even changing our world. But you know, as I continued praying and thinking about this phrase, faith with works is alive, I started to look around me this past week and I saw examples of people and groups and ministries right here in our church that are already showing the world in little ways every single day that faith with works is alive. Last week after church, I just paused for a moment in the midst of our weekly coffee fellowship time, and I just had this remarkable insight into what a beautiful thing it was that was going on around me. There were children running and playing and laughing with each other. There were teenagers gathered together building relationships and friendships. There were church leaders welcoming first-time visitors. There were people who have been friends for years hugging each other and telling each other what's going on in their lives. People staying around not just for 3 or 4 minutes after church, but 30 or 40 minutes after church, developing real community and real friendships. People supporting and loving each other. And I thought, this is church at its best. You know, there's a dozen places in our community where we can go to have a nice social gathering, and that's nice. And there's dozens of places where people worship God and then hurry right out the door afterwards. I know because I've served in some of those churches. And yet what our church gathers in this place to worship and then puts our faith into action, caring for each other's children, welcoming newcomers, bearing each other's burdens, that's when faith with works is truly alive. When you take the time to look at it, you'll see it happening around us all the time. I marveled this week, quite simply, at the love and support that our church members show for each other on Facebook. That's right. There's some good stuff going on Facebook this week. Words of condolence in response to friends and loved ones who've passed away. Words of support for people who are going in for surgery. Even a simple like or a comment or a smile to say, I notice what's going on in your life. I see that cute baby photo, and I love you, and I care for you, and I'm celebrating with you. Faith with works is alive and life-giving. Every week, our church has between 6 and 8 adult small groups who gather to read Scripture, to share their struggles and joys, and to pray for each other. This week, one of our small groups had only 2 participants who were able to show up, and yet these 2 people still spent the entire time together, talking to each other, getting caught up on life, and at the end, I peeked into the room and I saw that they were holding hands and praying for each other. Any 2 people can get together in friendship, and yet when Christ is at the center of our friendships, something truly life-changing and life-giving can happen. Faith with works is alive. Every day in our church, if you're not here during the weekdays, you're really missing out on one really awesome thing in our church, and that is our preschool. Every day, dozens of preschoolers descend upon our building in this flurry of energy and laughter and excitement. And the children in our preschool, they don't just play together and learn colors and shapes. Our teachers are intentional about developing these universal character traits like kindness and compassion and forgiveness, and they work those things into the curriculum. And you know, our church's preschool has an intentionally secular curriculum, and that enables us to welcome people from all different religious and ethnic backgrounds and to provide a place of hospitality where they can be welcomed and their children can learn. And yet many of our teachers and our volunteers and our committee members, they are people of faith, members of this or another church, and they know that educating and loving these little children is an extension of the work of the Holy Spirit, because all truth is God's truth, and all love is God's love. Faith with works is alive here in our building every single day. And so, friends, I would encourage you to see faith and works not as some sort of theological puzzle to be solved so that you can get your ticket checked and get your ticket to heaven, but rather faith and works are this mystery of God to be embraced so that we can receive true life. We can choose to go on telling the world that they don't have enough faith, or you're not performing enough good works, you don't measure up in one way or another, but you know, the world isn't looking for another person to come and scrutinize everything they're doing wrong. Rather, people are looking for this invitation into an alternative way of life that is powerful and transformative and truly alive. And we have that life right here in this community. We already have, through the example of Jesus, the most powerful, transformative story the world has ever known. And if you look at the people and the groups and the ministries of our church with the eyes of faith, you will see that we are already on the right track. And so my word for you is to keep going. Keep talking, keep praying, keep Facebook liking, keep sharing, keep loving, keep burden bearing. Faith with works is truly alive. May we be people of faith and people of works, and people who are truly, deeply, vibrantly alive. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.